Lightning is dead. Long live USB-C. GDP, yeah, you know me. Not thinner, not lighter, but definitely faster. Maybe. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023. Conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. If you're interested in attending, speaking, or sponsoring the event, visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
Good morning and welcome to the October 28th, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. As always, I'm Ray Rossini, and joined by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. How are you doing? I'm good. I'm in the yellow. But you are in Orlando.
I'm in the one place in Florida where the outside weather is beautiful 24/7. So this is a true story. I'm at the Gaylord Palms, right? And you and I were supposed to be together in Nashville for CompTIA. Thank you for holding it down. I appreciate it. So I can come over here to the seven-figure MSP event. But I'm in the Gaylord Palms, and we were here for Secure in June, July. And I'm sitting having dinner with Super Cousin Danny and a couple other people. And I'm saying, and it's a nice, like, boathouse, open windows, beautiful night. And I'm like, wow, the weather's really nice tonight. And Danny just starts laughing. Now, this is the end of the night, and we'd been drinking, so you know, whatever. But he's laughing, and he's laughing hardcore. And I'm like, I didn't say anything that funny. He goes, dude, we're in a dome. Like, I don't know if you can see above me. It's completely covered. It's all indoors. It just looks outdoors.
Yeah. It is funny. People don't realize, like, it's amazing. It's like an entire indoor enclosure, but it's perfect all the time, 24/7. But
it is indoors. Awesome. So you know what else is perfect? We got to bring up our interesting topic of the day. Microsoft Teams has released a new upbeat version of their ringtone. And I don't think a lot of people know this. Now, I wanted to bring it up because, you know, we've had our the Hackett promos, the MSP GeekCon. Our producer, Phil, makes some amazing hard-hitting beats. Like, I love the music. And you know, Microsoft said, hold my beer. So they come out with this. So if you go to Teams and you go over to your settings, right, under settings, and then you go over to calls, if you scroll down any of the ringtones for your calls, they're normally set to default, all the way at the bottom, they have one called Remix. Listen to this. I mean, I love that. tell me, like, I have PTSD, like, my Teams goes off, and I just cringe a little bit. For now that I have a change to this, even if I don't want to answer the call, I'll just dance along for a little bit. Right, yeah. It's like, should do the Night at the Roxbury, right? But, yeah. So, you know, go check that out on Teams. And but don't do that right now, because we have some news.
What do you say? We have news?
Get into it?
Let's get into the news. Kicking off the stories from ArsTechnica.com, a story by Samuel Axon. Apple is confirming that it will leave Lightning behind for future iPhones. An Apple executive publicly stated that the company's plan to comply with the European Union regulation that will require specific devices to have USB-C ports, confirming the iPhone will soon adopt USB-C. On Monday, the EU gave a final approval to a long under consideration common charger law that will require all devices within specific categories, smartphone included, to standardize on USB-C. Most devices have already gone that way, including Apple's MacBook and iPad lines, but the iPhone line has stuck with Apple's proprietary Lightning connection. There's a lot to unpack here, Ray. We've talked about this before. I would love to open this up with less article, more opinion. In the beginning, in the yesteryear for the kids out there who don't remember this. The IT department dictated, this is the technology that is going to succeed because this is the technology we're going to allow. This is what you're going to use. That evolved into the consumer dictating, this is the technology that I have and I need to connect it to work. And the consumer dictated the technology that was going to succeed. But does this mean that the evolution of technology is now put into the hands of the government? Is that what we just witnessed here, or am I seeing something else?
All right. So I don't think you're off base at all as far as the users dictating this, right? I think it's still that. This isn't the EU or the Gov saying, hey, we want you to change this because we really like USB-C over Lightning, which would be normal as it is. But it's the government going after the lack of the vendor to acquiesce to the client demands. Users of Apple suck at Apple, but users of Apple are dead tired of having a million different specialized cables for that. When we can have USB-C and the 15 variants of USB-C that we can never tell which one each cable is, why don't we get to that, right? And if USB-C can do 40 gigs, 40 gigabit throughput, and USB-C can do, I think the newer standards are going up to like 140 watts of power. There's nothing USB-C can't do that Lightning can. Make life easier. Make it one less cord. You know what I mean? I broke one of my charging cables for my MacBook this past week. And now, thanks to Apple, the battery lasted from Thursday to Monday till I got a new one. But it was like the proprietary little MagSafe thing. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Now, I had a million USB-C chargers I could have used, which are better for the MacBook. And the MacBook supports this. The iPad supports this. The iPhone was a laggard. And I'm glad to see the government going and saying, the end users want this. We're going to make you do what your end users want, even if you don't want to. And that makes a lot of sense to me. It's the government supporting the end users, in my opinion. I don't think the dynamic has changed whatsoever.
No, I think we're on the same page. To overcome this, many, many years ago, I put these little itty bitty, if I can grab these little itty bitty plugs inside all of my devices. So my little Sony charger or my Sony.
I have those magnetic right ones.
Yep. Exactly. And then what it allows me to do is just snap that on and it's now charging accordingly. I have that on my iPad, which is ironically USB-C. I have that on my iPhone. I have that on all my devices. That is what you're going to see. Those little things. So I just snap the cable on, and that's $20 for four of these cables. If everything is moving to a USB-C scenario, maybe I won't have to do that anymore. And don't get me wrong, I love that little magnet.
Oh, it's nice to break it off and just go, as opposed to like the stress of connecting, disconnecting, connecting. No, I'm with you. I have those same cables, not that exact model, but I have very similar. It's super convenient.
Do you think though that we are going to start seeing that at a more enterprise level where, hey, we have too much ransomware out there. We have, you need to start automatically closing ports. Now you need an admin to come up and start creating policies to open certain ports, as opposed to, hey, this is just the wild, wild west. I'm just trying to figure out what can the government do to influence the MSP's business, the enterprise or SMB, the enterprise, mid-market, anything in between their business from a product level. I feel like this is possibly a precedent to that. I'm just hoping I'm not seeing too much here.
Or do we want them to, right? Like, that's the question. Do we really want them saying, you have to use this product, you have to use that product, your product has to have this feature, and then all the vendors scramble to add the feature that Gov says they want, they have it. I'd love to hear what the MSPs think. We got a ton of feedback for the last episodes. Tell us what you think on this one. Hit us up in the comments below.
If the government gets involved, think about the economy impact that could have, both positive and negative. And I think your next story literally talks about that.
Right on the money. And speaking of money, our second top story in business, the U.S. gross domestic product Q3 report, as reported by Courtney Brown on Axios.com. This year, the economy shrank at 1.6% annual rate in the first quarter and 0.6% in the second quarter. Expanding at a 2.6% rate, the U.S. economy returned to growth in the third quarter after two straight negative quarters. That's a lot of quarters. The latest GDP report shows that despite the solid labor market and lowest unemployment rate in 50 years, inflation has eaten away at wage gains. According to President Biden, doomsayers have been arguing that the U.S. economy is in a recession, but the report shows economic recovery. The quarter's GDP report, released on Thursday, will be revised in the coming months, and it is also among the final major economic data releases before the midterm election. Tony, every analyst I've talked to has said we have an oncoming recession. Businesses are holding onto their cash, hiring Google, Microsoft, Amazon. They've been major, not only layoffs, but also hiring freezes. And this report says we're good. The economy's going up. I mean, all is saved. We're good.
Then we're good. Next story. We're good.
Does this change at all how you're preparing for the oncoming year?
Hi, my name's Tony Francisco, longtime listener, first time caller, and I have deep concerns that I'd like to discuss here with everyone. I believe that we have been here long enough to see enough situations to where nothing is predictable. It doesn't matter if you think everything is bad, it may turn amazing. It doesn't matter if you're told everything's amazing, it may turn sharply to it's a horrible, horrible dystopic scenario. For those of you who have lived through the 70s, I just dated myself, waiting in line for gasoline, that's a tough thing to forget. And I don't know what the answer is in regards to what is the current state of the economy. I do know what I see. I feel that the general consensus is that things could get a lot worse. And that's what everyone's kind of, you know, they're white knuckling the sides as we are kind of, are we done with the click, 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 and then we're going to do the drop? Or are we maybe a little over prepared? Or are we witnessing a lot of things that are alleviating that very drop, such as silent quitting, which is a lot of transitions, which in itself could have a substantial benefit as people, remember, they're cross-pollinating their skill sets, which of course will increase the productivity if it's done correctly in certain areas. And we're witnessing transitions, quiet firing, as slowly but surely thousands, tens of thousands of employees are being laid off because of just sheer fat that they're cutting. But the unemployment rate is so low, they're finding jobs like this. Are they making a massive increase in their jump? Possibly, probably not. But is it bad, or are we just witnessing a subtle transition or a shift? I don't know the answer to that. I know that it could be much worse. I know that there's a lot of concern out there. But if the government says it's good, I don't even know why we're talking anymore. It's
good. No, we're good. I'm going to go buy a boat now. No, that's probably the worst investment you could ever make. No.
Put the boat in that dome, because then the weather's always
Bad. Yeah,
there is a boat in the dome.
There is a boat. We're having
there's literally a boat in.
But you know, it's tough because you want to be able to plan, right? You want to be able to plan. MSPs want to grow their businesses for the most part. They want to add staff. They want to invest in their success. And then we've been saying for the last 3-4 months, hold your cash, be more economical, be more frugal, maybe be a little, try to focus on efficiency. So if the economy does take a downturn, you don't have to lay off because you're squeezing more with less, right? But you know, this back and forth, I think now this is one report. It's not, you know, this is not, there is a lot of arguments for, and this is one report saying things are looking up. And really what happens with all finance in the world is you got to wait to see what happens. And then you keep going. It's like checking the weather, right? It's going to rain. No, it's not going to rain. It's going to rain. Who knows?
What does the MSP think about this? I mean, the average MSP, because they are literally the front line and they're the eyes and ears of what I saw back in 2007 when the economy dipped. I noticed that MSPs as a whole were witnessing in real time the customer attrition rate internal inside the customer, meaning they weren't seeing customers leave, but the users inside the customer leave or the funding was cutting back on projects. So I'm really interested from an MSP perspective, what are you hearing out there? What are you seeing out there? You're on the front line.
Actually, I couldn't hear you. My computer's getting really slow. I think your story has something to do with, you can help me out with that?
Oh my, yes. What a great transition. From bleepingcomputer.com, a story from Lawrence Abrams. Looks like Microsoft is testing the Windows PC Manager System Optimizer app. Microsoft is developing a Windows system optimization program called PC Manager that combines existing Windows tools into one interface. Windows users have likely used Windows systems cleaners or system optimization programs that promise to increase the speed of the computer by deleting unnecessary files and registry keys. While at first glance, Microsoft's PC Manager looks similar to a System Optimizer app, it actually acts as a central location for performing various tasks that already exist in other built-in Windows tools. Microsoft's PC Manager is currently in beta and is offered at pcmanager.microsoft.com in the subdomain. And as the page is written in Chinese, the Microsoft is likely testing this in this PC Manager in China first as a beta. And although the website is in Chinese, the app itself is in English. There's a long list of features in this particular and tool sets in this particular app. The first tool is called Health Check, which scans the device for viruses using Microsoft Windows Defender. It also scans for unnecessary files, potential issues, and startups that increase the boot time of Windows, which is similar to the Startups tab in Task Manager. There's a lot of other tools in there. Check the show notes, storage management, process management, and security tools. For advanced users, PC Manager will not bring much to the table that is not already found in Windows. However, for less experienced users, it could provide an easier way to perform variety maintenance tasks on the advanced level. Ray, this is what I want to ask you. It sounds like there's more of a self-administration portion at the desktop level, and everything we just heard is literally rudimentary level for anybody who knows anything about IT management. Is this a course that the common pedestrian will end up taking, where they will consume these tools, or, follow my lead here, is this simply a kind of a redirector, a central redirector that Microsoft is putting together that can be controlled from something like Lighthouse or their MDM apps? Or are you following what I'm saying? So
yeah,
instead of all these separate applications, I'm wondering if we're not witnessing a consumer level change, but more of the topical consumer, but under the hood, we're bringing it all together so it can be controlled by the centerpiece, the hosted solutions, the RMM automation solutions that Microsoft's implementing for the, ironically, MSPs. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm hoping it's exactly what you're saying. I'm hoping this is not so much for the end users. It's for the IT professionals to leverage the existing Azure architecture and management controls, right? We talked about Intune, the Intune suite that's coming next year, Lighthouse, it's been in beta forever for M365 management, Endpoint Manager, Intune, like to be able to leverage this stuff from an enterprise perspective, which is where Microsoft always starts, and to be able to use native tools without having the, or, you know, even if you kick it off from your RMM or whatever it is, but I think Microsoft is trying to make it so that regardless of what your tool stack is, you can use native functionality within Microsoft to manage their devices, which is really important, right? I love that. I love that idea. You know, one of the things, it reminds me of like Dell Command Update, right? On Dell servers, you script that. It's a native tool from Dell, and most of us script it to get feedback on firmware and drivers and blah, blah. Having that functionality at an OS level, I think is great, where we can diagnose, oh, my PC's running slow, get, you know, performance increases, you know, clearing cache files, stuff we've been doing for decades. Let's be honest. Clearing cache files or clearing old, you know, previous OS installation files, or, you know, you remember the days of deleting the cabs and stuff. That's forever. But having something native to the platform where you can manage centrally, that's really powerful. I like that, without requiring a third-party product.
I agree. I think if we can almost reshore all of those, the artifacts that are kind of disparate silos of all these tools, if we can bring them all together in a centralized location and have them connected in some capacity to the Lighthouse, to the Intunes, which they're clearly building and pushing pretty hard, we have what I believe reshored all of the stragglers out there to something that is now manageable all the way to the ironically perceivable at this point at home users, because everyone's working at home, and that's a great thing for the MSP community.
Absolutely, I agree. But let's see what the MSP say. It's, is this cool or is this bah humbug? Who cares? You know, whatever. You know. You know, what's next? They're going to include a tool to clear cookies? I mean, no, if you care as an MSP, if you don't care as an MSP, if you think we're really off base and we picked a bad story, let us know in the comments. Either way, we want to hear from you down below or 833 MSP Network. And Tony, why don't we get into the notables, man? In my first notable mention, Windows JavaScript 0-Day. Reported by Lawrence Abrams on Bleeping Computer. A Windows Zero-Day vulnerability lets actors use malicious standalone JavaScript files to bypass Mark of the Web security warnings. The Mark of the Web, MOTW, security feature is the Windows security warnings that we see when we try to open a file from the internet. As we know, internet files can be harmful to your computers if these are from unknown or untrusted sources. Researchers from the HP Threat Intelligence team have observed that threat actors infecting devices with Magnabur ransomware using JavaScript files, specifically .js files, distributed as attachments or downloads that can run outside of a web browser. Microsoft stated that it is aware of the issue and is currently investigating it. In my second notable mention, Google Play Store malware now above 20 million downloads, written by Bill Tulis on Bleeping Computer. McAfee discovered 16 malicious apps with a combined total of 20 million downloads on Google Play. The apps contain clicker malware that secretly runs in the background and clicks on advertising links to generate ad revenue. The effects of this malware on devices include increased data usage, performance drop, overheating, and an increase in battery usage. Because the malware doesn't start malicious activity for at least an hour after installation and delays activity when the user is actively using the device, it escapes detection. The apps are no longer on the Google Play Store after McAfee reported them, but users who've already downloaded the apps will still be infected unless these are uninstalled.
And in my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Microsoft fixes vulnerable driver blocklist sync issue. Microsoft said it addressed an issue preventing the Windows kernel vulnerable driver blocklist from being synced to systems running older Windows versions. The blocklist stored in the driver C policy.p7b file is designed to block threat actors from dropping legitimate but vulnerable drivers on target systems in bring your own vulnerable driver, that's BYOVD, attacks on HVCI enabled Windows machines or those running in Windows S mode. And in the next notable mention from MSN.com, bigger than ransomware, cryptojacking is the new moneymaker. Cybercrime is extremely lucrative. A flourishing economy generating a staggering $1.5 trillion in revenue every year, according to a recent estimate. Perfect for cyber criminals, as this is a maximum ROI, minimum effort, and practically little risk of penalty. In this scenario, it comes as no surprise that cryptojacking, the unauthorized use of someone else's computer resources to mine cryptocurrency, has replaced ransomware as the number one threat for consumers and enterprises. This effort to value ratio has rapidly pushed cryptojacking to the top of info security issues. And kicking off some of our feedback, we got some great feedback. Derek Brawley on YouTube said, "Show was great, guys, as always. I've got a suggestion because I'd like to win one, but maybe a drawing for t-shirts or desk trinkets would be a great idea to get people to click on thumbs up. Just wanted to share a thought." Thank you, Derek.
I think we could do that. We got some nice MMN and MSP Dispatch swag. We could definitely do that. Yeah. We'll call it the Derek Brawley Awards. So,
just the Brawley Awards.
And from our good buddy Tony Kai, I actually have never asked him, but you know, let's go with Tony Kai over at Nerdio. Says, if you hit the thumbs up button twice, it cancels the first thumbs up, referring to my usual closing. If you like it, hit it, the thumbs up. If you don't like it, hit it twice. So he said he did it three times for us. Tony, you're a friend and a gentleman, sir. I appreciate you. I'm going to start saying, if you like it, hit it once. If you don't like it, hit it three times. But we're going to get hardcore into math. So thanks for that, Tony. This Josh says, don't apologize. The intro is awesome. Referring to the SpongeBob rendition. So thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
That was the best.
And sometimes all you need to say is just say it all with one word. And Mason Schmidt says that one word is eat.
Eat.
Thank you, Mason. We appreciate you.
Kicking off our community events on November 1st at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, channel program Pitch It All-Star Program featuring Damon John. Also on November 1st at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network. On November 2nd and 3rd, an in-person event, Channel Pro SMB Forums 2022 Southwest. On November 4th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch Weekly Wrap-Up presented by yours truly and Ray Orsini on the MSP Media Network. On November 7th through the 9th, an in-person event, Acronis CyberFit Summit 2022 in Miami Beach, Florida. And finally, on November 9th through the 11th, an in-person event, IT Nation Connect by ConnectWise in Orlando, Florida.
Those of you that attended Huntress's Hackett 2021 or any of the previous sessions will be delighted to know they're back at it. And joining me to talk about it is Mr. John Hammond, the senior cybersecurity researcher over at Huntress.
What we like to bring with Hackett 2022 is a lot of education, hands-on experience, interactive stuff to get you in the know about what threats are out there. We are diving into three different sessions during the content days, November 15th and 16th. So you have two chances to catch the content.
And then on top of that, you guys have a pre-day event also, right?
So what we call day zero is a hands-on hacking training lab. Cutting through code, slinging exploits, a lot of fun and very cool stuff.
MSP Media Network is actually going to give away five of the zero-day licenses. We'll put the information below, but absolutely we invite you guys to sign up for Hackett 2022.
Excellent. See you soon.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, do like Tony and hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. Some of the stories of today came from our Discord. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. And be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have a question? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we may not have talked about any pineapples under the sea, but I will say this was a beautiful episode, sir. I am immensely proud to be part of it.
Likewise. And it's not just beautiful because you're in a completely self-contained dome atmosphere. It's not beautiful because it's beautiful because I think we have something that no one else has.
Us. Florida man? Oh, yeah. I mean, that too. I will tell you, I was walking by. I forgot who I was walking by with. It was one of the MSPs. And we're walking by the area at the Gaylord that has all the alligators. And he's like, we're in Florida. There's gators. The only thing missing is Florida man Tony. So, you're missed, brother.
I wish I was there, brother. I was there. It was a bummer not seeing you in Nashville, but everyone was talking about you and they loved the show. We got a plug literally where at CompTIA on the main stage, one of the chairs says, I listened to the MSP Dispatch. I learned a lot of stuff. I mean, it's funny as heck, but you actually learn a lot of stuff, and that was a chef's kiss for me. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. So I love to hear that. Absolutely. And give us some feedback, MSPs. If you love it, tell us. If you hate it, tell us. We love all kinds of feedback. Honestly, we just love hearing from you guys. But until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
Take care, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Or am I seeing something else? You know what I see? I see that you're on mute. That's what I see.
So, having met, I got to have dinner with Tom Wyatt this weekend, or this week. And one of the things he said he loves about Dispatch is when I completely lose my shit.
And everyone doesn't even see it offline. And let's just post this little part of it that is the summary of everything that's happening. Okay, there go ahead. Go.
Unknown or untrusted sources. Researchers. Sounds like something from Harry Potter. All right.
This effort to value ratio has rapidly pushed cryptojacking to the top of info security issues in 2018. What did I just copy that? Did I copy that wrong? 2018? It does say it. I'm looking at the article. It says 2018. I'm gonna say, yeah, just I'm gonna repeat that last one. All right. This effort, hold on, I gotta stop laughing. 2018, maybe it's a few years ago. Here we go, snap into character. This effort to value ratio has rapidly pushed cryptojacking to the top of hold on. I went so good without bloopers, so good. Oh gosh. Okay, here we go. This effort, one more time. Here we go. This effort to value ratio has rapidly pushed cryptojacking to the top of info security issues. That should be the end of it. I'm doing it one last time. I'm going to finish this one last time. Did so good all the way until the end. And then the audience is going to go, why in the scene from that line to that line does he look like he's sweating in red? Because I am sweating in red. I'm just angry. Yeah. Okay.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, hit that thumbs up button. Blah, blah. Ooh, that was bad. Just for Tom. Ah! Okay. All right.